Blog Talk Radio.
He that know the right and do it wrong shall be spanked with many stripes. When the heathen come, your children step wise. Even though they make mention of them and those,
fire
but never be friends.
Fire,
you know why? You know why? Yes, them have the heart of a pagan. Your children have the heart of a lion. I know people are moved with Satan. Righteous shod in the countenance of the Almighty One. Them have the heart of demons. Your children have the heart of a lion. I know people are moved with Satan. Righteous walk in the countenance of the Almighty One. Poor people see hostility rising daily. Ignorant multiply brutality. We I see that they run gone left mommy. We struggle the hard road with fight beginning. Our I see baby has been baby. Nothing that happen now do not seem to amaze way. We know that is the fulfillment of prophecy. Our I see them no build school is church and penny. Church, the penitentiary never empty. Still playing a mental trick on me. Listen, you check you and me check me. And let's bring more love in the black community. Them are the heart of a pagan. Your children are the heart of a lion. I know evil a move with Satan. Righteous walk in the countenance of the Almighty One. No. Them are the heart of demons. The children of the heart of a lion. I know evil a move with Satan. Righteous walk in the countenance of the Almighty One. Respect the father of the prophet Moses and Abraham. You have to respect the father of Jacob and Solomon. Respect the creator of many nations. He made the birds, he made the beasts, the fishes of the ocean. And fastened them together with his mighty. And he made the man, he made woman, children, the future of the land. So who is you to disrespect the creator, man? 72 nations bow down and crown him conquering one. It would be beautiful in the sight of God, the Holy One, to see the unification of my nation. Them have the heart of a pagan.
Watch that.
Your children have the heart of a lion. I know evil a move with Satan. Righteous walk in the countenance of the Almighty One.
Every time.
Them have the heart of demons. Your children have the heart of a lion. In the countenance of the Almighty One, poor people see hostility rising daily. Ignorant multiply brutality. We I see daddy run gone left mommy to struggle the hard road with five bikini. Our I see baby has been baby. Nothing that happened no do not seem to amaze way. We know that is the fulfillment of prophecy. Our I see them no build school is church and penitentiary. Church, dead, the penitentiary never empty. Still playing a mental trick on me, believe me. Them have the heart of a pagan. The children have the heart of a lion. I know evil a move with Satan. Right of walk in the continent.
Hallelujah! Praise Abba Yah. Open up the door to Sabbath for us once again. Abba Yah, starting off giving thanks and honor to you and your son, praying that all Israel is taking part of this holy and precious day that you have set apart for us right now to replenish, to just set burdens down, Father. May we all dwell in it holy, Father. May we all put our spirit, heart, and mind in this day, Father. May we let down anything that's bothering us, Father. May we come to sit at your on your Sabbath. You always prepare a meal for us, Father. Father, may your meal nourish us, Father. May your meal replenish us, Father. May your meal bring us up, Father. Thank you, Father, for giving us rest, Father. For sometimes as man, we won't rest ourselves, Father. We won't rest our spirits, Father. And we get off balance, Father. So through you, Father, I thank you, Father, for giving us a rest, Father, and for those who take heed of your rest, Father, for we need it. Yahushua's name I pray. Amen.
Welcome to Kol Elohim. Give me a text again and see if am I going in and out or anything, because I really don't have no earpiece tonight. Give me a call and let me know. Somebody give me a thumbs up and we can try to work on that. But tonight is point of view. Give me Hebrew culture. Or, as you normally hear or used to hearing, Hebrew culture. But we're going to try and continue to put that in our mindset, in the forefront of our minds, Hebrew culture. I know it's hard for me because, you know, I'm always saying Hebrew. Been saying Hebrew for the last 17 years and just can't let it go. Why? Because it became a part of me. Come to the knowledge that it is not Hebrew, it's Hebrew. Yisraeli. So from time to time, if I say that, I'm talking about Hebrew Israelites. For those who just tuning in and don't know what I'm talking about Hebrew Israelites. And tonight, we're going to be talking about the Passover tonight. We in the month of Abib here in Baltimore with Camp Beth Yahweh and other camps that we know, other assemblies that we know. We really don't like the term camp, the assemblies of Yahweh. We're celebrating Passover in a couple of days, in like 8, maybe like 10 more days. We're in the fourth day today, I'm guessing. Brother Shava, give me a call, give me a text, let me know if I'm on point. I believe it's the fourth day, though. Fourth day of Abib, on the Shabbat Eve. Hallelujah. On the Shabbat Eve. We welcome them, a new part of the family, Brother Mattiah and his wife, brought in a new baby this on the first of Abib, on the new moon. Hallelujah. The first of Abib on the new moon and a new year. What a blessing. May Yahweh continue to bless and grow your family, Aki. For all of our kin that's out and under the weather, I'm going to ask Yahweh for a special healing and a special blessing upon your household and upon your spirit, that he may lift y'all and let y'all be in good comfort. For all the Kohanim that's out, we want to ask Yahweh for a special blessing upon your household and upon your spirit, so y'all minds can be clear, because y'all have to do the work of Yahweh. And all the wives of the Kohanim, a special blessing. And all the children of the Kohanim, that their households be in right manner, Father. That they be right, Father, sister. The work they have to do is not easy. It's not easy at all. So bless them, Father. Keep their minds free of this ungodly world, Father, because they know they're coming. And for all Yisrael, Father, sons and daughters, Father, all Yisrael, Father, put a special blessing upon us. Send that second helper, Father, because the world is getting worse, Father. Times are getting harder, Father. We need you more than ever, Father. We need to cling to you and your son more than ever. Send that second help, Father. Send it like you did on the day of in the day of Pentecost, when that mighty wind came through and filled them brothers, Father, and sisters. We need that again, Father. We need that mighty wind to come down and fill us again, Father. Again, we're talking about Passover tonight, but we're talking about it from an Egyptian point of view. We never really talk about it from an Egyptian point of view, and we really don't know but the 10 plagues that Yahweh sent down. We read the 10 plagues, and we hear about the 10 plagues, and throughout the scriptures, throughout the word, we hear other brothers mentioning the 10 plagues and what Abba have done. But the brother Shlomo, brother Solomon, he actually gives us an idea. He gives us an account of what happened that night, not just from the locusts, not just from all the other things that we read about, the 3 days of darkness, you know, the water turning into blood. He gives us what actually the Egyptians was going through when the night of Passover. And as I was reading it and as I was going through, it connected for me that night when Yahushua come back, when what we're doing now, participating in the Sabbath, when that true Sabbath come back, and what's going to happen to mankind when the sun won't give its light, when the moon be darkened, and the stars fall from heaven. What type of shape or fear that man going to be in, those who are not connected and those who will not change in the twinkling of an eye? But we know that, at least we hope so, at least we should know where we at in Abba, that if he came back tonight, you in right standing. And you're going to change when he comes and set his feet on the Mount of Olives. You should have that hope within you. We all should have that hope that we are going to change when Yahushua will come back, him and his army, so we can be a part of his army. Exodus 10, we're going to read verses 1 and 2. And Yahweh said unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I might show these my signs before him, and that thou mayest tell in his ears of thy son and of thy son's sons what things I have wrought in Egypt, and my signs which I have done among them, that ye may know that I am Yahweh. Let me read that again too. And that thou mayest tell in the ears of thy son, of thy son's son, what things I have wrought in Egypt, and my signs which I have done among them, that you may know that I am Yahweh. Yahweh about to bring down some destruction. We read the story. Matter of fact, we're waiting for a couple more days, 11 more days, or whatever, for Passover to come. We can't wait for Passover. We're looking forward to Passover. We're looking forward. Every year we look forward to Passover. But Yahweh is telling Moshe, this what I do to the Egyptians, I want you to tell your sons. I want you to tell your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. I want this, what I have done to them for your sake, Israel. I want this to pass down to generation, to generation, to generation, to generation, so you may know that I am Yahweh, your mighty one, who brought you out of Egypt with a stretched-out arm, with a mighty arm. And this is what we're talking about tonight, family, the remembrance of the Pesach night. Let's move on. As a matter of fact, let's just read just a small account of it. Exodus 12. We're going to read Exodus 12, 1 to 14, because this is all timely. It's timely. Listen. And Yahweh spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Mitzrayim, in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. And we're right here. We're in that same time again, family. We're in that same time that when Yahweh told Moshe, at least 4,000 to 5,000 years ago, told Moshe this. Speak unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for in the house. And if thou household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the soul. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Yea, ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take up the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the upper of the house, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Those three things right there, family. Ain't no egg, but we're not going to get into that. You know, it just popped in my mind. There's an egg on some people's head, please. How far have they gone from the scriptures? Eat it not of it raw, nor sudden at with water, but roast with fire, his head, with his legs, and with the prudence thereof. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat in haste. It is Yahweh's Passover. Not the Jews' Passover, not the Iblis' Passover. It is Yahweh's Passover. It's not man's Passover, but the Creator's. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the mighty ones, the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am Yahweh. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to Yahweh throughout your generation. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordination forever. Hallelujah. Now we have to ask, why is it? Because this feast right here is very important, not just to us. As we just read, it's very important to Yahweh. It's very important to him. That's why he said you should keep it throughout your generation. It should be a memorial for you. It is something to put you in remembrance. So now we know and understand why Satan tried so hard to confuse the people. Because he know and understand that if I can confuse them and somebody going to do it a month ago, they're going to miss Yahweh's Passover. If they're going to have all these different counts on how to count it and how to come to the 14th of Abib, they're going to miss Yahweh's Passover. They're going to miss the most important feast day of all, Yahweh's Passover. Why? Because it's pointing to Yahushua being that ultimate sacrifice, being that ultimate outdoor post, forehead, outside post. All around our head, they're going to miss it. This feast is most important. That's why we look so forward to it. It brings such joy to the person who take hold of it, to the person who understands it. But Hasatan understands it too. He know how important this feast is. He know how important, so he won't confuse it. Let's move on, family. Let's move on. If you have the Apocryphal book, we're going to be reading out Apocryphal again. We're in the Wisdom of Solomon. And we're going to start in chapter 17. We're going to read two chapters out of here, out of Wisdom of Solomon. We're going to start at chapter 17, 1 all the way through. We're going to start at chapter 8, 1 through 24. For those who have an ear, listen, Shema. Shema to that great and awesome day when Yahushua come back. Shema. For great are your judgments and hard to enter. Therefore, souls undisciplined, for when that lawless man had supposed that they had they held a holy nation in their power. They themselves prisoners of darkness and bound in their service of a long night, clothes kept beneath their roofs, laid exiles from the eternal providence. You read that again, fam. Just hold, remember we started off in Exodus 10, 1 and 2, who Yahweh was talking to. Who was he talking to? For we know that the Torah is spiritual. I am carnal, sold under sin. And he told Moshe to go in there, tell Pharaoh to let my people go, but I'm a hardened heart. For when lawless men had supposed that they had held a holy nation in their power, we were a holy nation even before Yahweh gave us the Torah. Why? Because that's what he had for us. We were already in the loins of Abraham. But again, Shema, it is a holy nation now. We may not be formed yet. It's like Yahweh said earlier when he told Jacob or our father Israel to go down in Mitzrayim, for I'm going to be with you. And if Yahweh was with Jacob and the children of Israel, they were a holy nation, no different than today. If Yahweh is with the Israel of Yah, we are in holy nation, though we are not together yet, though we are not under one umbrella yet, but we are still an holy nation, and though men think they have us as prisoners, they may believe in their minds that the children of Israel are oppressed. They are trodden down, but we are not, because Yah is with us. For when lawless men had supposed that they had held an holy nation in their power, they themselves prisoners of darkness and bound in feathers of long night, a long night, clothes kept beneath their roofs, lay exiled from eternal providence. For while they thought that they were unseen in their secret sins, they were surrounded one from another by a dark curtain of forgetfulness, stricken with terrible awe and sore trouble by spectacle forms. Can you imagine, family, what was going on in Mitzrayim when Yahweh came down and the angel of death was with him? When he came down and that angel of death was going around in Mitzrayim in Egypt, the spectacle forms. For neither did the dark recess that held them guard them from fear, but sounds rushing down rage around them, and phantoms appear cheerless with unsmiling faces. This has all happened to Egypt at this time, when all that was going on. Where was Yisrael? We was in light. We was in Gershom, and there was light in Gershom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just listen. And no force of fire prevailed to give them light. Neither were the brightness flames of the stars strong enough to illuminate the gloomy night. Yahweh wouldn't even allow them to light a fire. He wouldn't even allow the stars to give their light. Again, Shema, when that great and terrible day, or for us, that great and awesome day when Yahushua come back and crack the sky. For we know that the Torah is spiritual. He didn't even allow them to light a fire. He didn't allow them that. Why? Because in their minds, they had a holy nation under their thumb. In their mind, they had a holy nation under their thumb.
But only there appeared to them the glimmering of a fire self-kindled, full of fear and in terror. They deemed the things which they saw to be worse than the sight on which they could not gaze. Shema'a family. And they laid helpless, made the sport of magic. And a shameful rebuke of the vaunts for those who promised to drive away terror and trembling from the sick soul. These were themselves sick with a ludicrous fearfulness. Listen to what the scripture just said. For the Egyptians had magicians. They had those who dealt in divination. No different than today. And the Egyptians and their magicians would tell Pharaoh and the royal household and whoever else that whatever plagues us, I am able through my magic to dispel it. Listen to what it says again. 17:7. I'm trying to find my spot. And they laid helpless, made the sport. And they laid helpless, made the sport of magic, and a shameful rebuke of their wrongs of understanding. For those who promised to drive away terrors and troubling from a sick soul, these were themselves sick with a ludicrous fearfulness. Those who was in charge, what we may call the politicians today, who's going to drive away, or man's army, who's going to drive away sickness, who's going to drive away trouble. Not when Yahweh show up. You ain't driving away nothing. I don't care who you have on your side. You are not driving away nothing. And this is what the Egyptians was going through that Pesach night. Pharaoh was calling for his magicians. They couldn't do nothing. They were in fear. That's what the scripture telling us. Only there appeared to them the glimmering of a fire. Oh, man. Hold on. I'm sorry, family. Nine. For even if not troublous things affrighted them, yet scared with the creeping of the vermin and the hissing of serpents, Yahweh let loose on them. They perished with very trembling, refusing even to look on the air, which could no one side be escaped. For wickedness condemned by a witness within is a coward thing, and being pressed hard by conscience always forecasts the worst lot. For the fear is nothing else but a surrender of the help which reason offers, and from within the heart expectations of them being left make of greater account the ignorance of the cause that brings the torment. Understand what he just said, family. Fear, what made them fear so much? Because they was helpful. They helpless. They could not do nothing. They didn't understand what was going on. They couldn't do nothing. And that's us. I thought that was a great quote right there about fear. That's why the scripture says, why should who having Yahweh shall fear? I know I'm paraphrasing. For the love of Yahweh casts away all fear. Do we fear? That's a question for y'all, Israel. What do you fear? You fear losing somebody? You fear losing who you are? What do you fear when you have Yahweh? If you're ungodly, you have all the world to fear, because the wrath of Yahweh is going to come down on you. But if you have Yahweh, what do you fear? 12, one more time. For fear is nothing else but a surrender of the help which reason offers.
when you understand that you have no help, when man understands that nothing is coming to save him, whatever he's into, whatever holding him back, and he has nothing to help him, then he surrenders to fear. But what can an Israelite say? Can you say, you have help? On every side, you have help. So what can make you surrender to fear if you have Yahweh? What can make you surrender to fear if you have Yahweh? And listen to the term. You are surrendering to fear. You are letting go the strength of Yahweh to fear something. You're surrendering it. You're taking Yahweh and putting them on the back burner and surrendering Yahweh gives you to fear. Let's move on. And from within, the heart expectation of them being less mixed of greater account, the ignorance of the cause that brings the torment. But they all through the night, which was powerless indeed, and which came upon them out of the recesses of powerless hell, all sleeping the same sleep. I love how Yahweh boasts. I love it. They were powerless. You understand why he allows or boasts like that? Because somebody boasts in his face, said, I'm going to raise my throne over your throne. Say, okay, all right. But when they come to find out that you are powerless to raise your throne over his throne, he will boast. Yes. You came to him with that challenge. You came to him. He didn't go to you with that challenge. He allowed man's heart to get the way it's going to get, the way as though there's no mighty one. Come to realize there is a mighty one, he's going to boast. That there is something more powerful than you. 15. Now, we're haunted by monstrous apparitions. This is their Pesach night. They were haunted by monstrous apparitions. Demons was upon them. Are y'all going to worship the demons? I'm going to allow them to torment you. I'm going to allow them to torment you. Remember that. Whoever out there that's calling upon the demons for help, who's quote-unquote selling their soul to Satan, at the end, he's going to allow that demon to torment you. He's going to allow that to torment you. That what you ask help for, that is what is going to be your torment. Remember that. Those who put their hand to Satan's plow. Now, we're hunted. They were hunted. The demons were hunting them by monstrous apparitions, and now were paralyzed by their souls, surrendering for fear suddenly unlooked for came upon them. So then every man, whoever it might be, sinking down in his place, was kept and was shut up in the prison which was burrowed. Not with eyes. He was in the prison of himself, in the prison of fear. Wasn't no eyes holding him. For whether he were a husbandman or a shepherd or a laborer whose tools in the wilderness, he was overtaken and endured that invincible necessity, excuse me, family. For with one chain of darkness were they all bound. Whether they were a whistling wind or a, I'm going to map this up, fam. A melodious noise of birds among the spreading branches, or a measure full of water running violently, or a harsh crushing of rocks hurled down, bounding along unseen, or the voice of wild beasts harshing, roaring, or an echo rebounding from the hollows of the mountains. All these paralyzed them with terror. For the whole world besides was enlightened with clear light and was occupied with unhindered works. Understand what he just said to Mitzrayim, to Egypt that night. You want my power? You want to see my power? You want to know who Yahweh is, Pharaoh? When you ask that question, who is Yahweh that I should let his people go? Only there in Mitzrayim in the whole world, and y'all was the only one was not doing or going about the everyday work. Y'all was the only ones living in paralyzed fear. Because you asked the question, who is Yahweh? So I got to show you who my power is. Let me read that again. 17:20. For the whole world besides was enlightened with clear light and was occupied with unhindered works, going about their daily business. Everybody else in the world besides you, Egypt, besides you. While over them alone was spread a heavy night, an imagine of darkness that should afterward receive them, but yet heavier than darkness were they to themselves. The world is in darkness. The people gross darkness. Same thing again, family. Same thing again. Shema. I'm moving on to 18, family. Moving on to 18. But for your Holy One, there was great light. Hallelujah. And the Egyptians, hearing their voice, but seeing not their form, counted it as a happy thing that they too had surrendered, had suffered. Ooh, when the script said it was light in Gershom, this is what the Egyptians say. Hey, you know what? They hear the Israelites over there. It's happening into them too. They happy about that. They happy about that. It's that old saying, misery loves company. No, it was not happening to us. He said, but your Holy Ones, there was great light with us, with our ancestors. There was great light with us. Not just any light, there was a great light with us. Hallelujah. 18:2. Yet for that they did not hurt them now. So wronged by them before, they are thankful. And because they had been as valiant with them, they made supplications to them. Whereas you did provide for your people a burning pillar of fire to be a guide for the unknown journey, and withal a kindly sun for their proud exile. For well did the Egyptians deserve to be deprived of light and imprisoned by darkness. They who had kept enclosed with your sons, through whom the incorruptible light of the Torah was to be given to the race of men. Listen to that, family. And this is for our angry cousins. This is for the Caucasian Jews. And this is for anybody else who want to take hold of that Torah and don't want to give it out to nobody else. The Torah was given to Yisraeli so they can give it to the rest of the world. It was given to our ancestors and to us today so we can give it to the rest of the world. Not for us to hoard it and be selfish with it. We don't serve a selfish mighty one. We serve a mighty one who wants to see all men in his kingdom. When I say men, I mean man and woman. Let's read that again. For well did the Egyptians deserve to be deprived of light and imprisoned by darkness. They who had kept it close were your sons, to whom the incorruptible light of the Torah was to be given to the race of men. It didn't say some men. It said to the race of men. John 3:16. For Yah so loved the world, he sent his light, his son, down into the world. Huh? Now you got our brothers trying to explain that away. Now explain that one away then. Explain the wisdom of Solomon 18:4 away. It said through the race of men. You can't explain John 3:16 away. You're gonna have to twist and turn some things. Y'all don't want Israel to be saved. He wants Israel to be the catalyst for men to come and say, oh, what great wisdom y'all had. What's that y'all got? I want some. Sure. By all means, here, take this. Take this Moshe. Here, take Yahushua. By all means, it's abundance. It's too much for just one nation of man. We're selfish when we don't want to give Yahweh's word away. When we don't want to give his mercy and his grace to everybody. We want to hold Yahweh. We want to hold him. We're selfish. 5. After they had taken counsel to kill the babies of the Holy One, and when a single child had been cast forth and saved the convict, to convict them of their sin, you took away from them their multitude of children and destroyed all their army together in a mighty battle. Around chapter 16, and read all the way through. Because Brother Solomon, he is running down some things that, like, wow, I never understood that one. And he opening up the scriptures from what you have already read even more. Even more. Go back, start from chapter 16, fam. Matter of fact, go back to 14. I believe 14. Of the night where our fathers made aware beforehand that having sure knowledge, they might be cheered by the oaths which they had trusted. So by your people was expected salvation of the righteous and destruction of the enemy. Hallelujah. Shema, family, Yahushua come back. For those Israelites who didn't understand the two comings of the Messiah, who do not understand that the first coming, he had to come as a suffering. Now, but when he come back next time, that's the conquering king coming back. And you don't want to be on his bad side. You don't want to be one who he said, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you. You don't want to be that. So by your people was expected salvation of the righteous and destruction of the enemies. For as you did take vengeance on the adversaries, by the same means calling us to yourself, you did glorify us. Hallelujah. Again, it's going to happen again. Take vengeance on the adversaries, and he's going to call us to him. A great and awesome day. For holy children of good men offered sacrifice in secret, and with one consent they took upon themselves the covenant of the divine law, the divine Torah, that they would partake alike in the same good things and the same pearls, the fathers already leading the scared song of praise. Hallelujah. We are singing people, family. We have always been singing people. Always. Hallelujah. But there surrounded back in discord the cry of the enemy and the and the piteous voice of lamentation for children was borne abroad. And a servant, along with master, punished with a like just doom, and commoner suffering the same as king. It didn't matter. It didn't matter what your status is or what your status was. Yahweh going to get you if you're unrighteous. And it's going to happen again. What's the dude that just passed away? Rockefeller. Was it Rockefeller? Yeah, Rockefeller. It don't matter what you think your status was on this planet while you was alive. You closed them eyes for good. Now Yahweh going to show you who the real power is. Remember, family, it happened back then in Mitzrayim. We know Egypt points to the world. So it's going to happen again. Yes, all the people together under one form of death had with them corpses without number, for the living were not sufficient even to bury them, since at a single stroke their noble offspring was consumed. And remember what we told. This is Pesach night, family. What happened to the Egyptians? Hallelujah. For while they were disbelieving all things by reason of the enchantment upon the destruction of the firstborn, they confessed the people to be Yah's sons. Having that behind with me, we had the creator people in here. That was the creator people. There's no other power on the face of the planet can do what he done to us tonight. We were the most powerful nation at that time on the planet. And the people that we had in prison ain't lift one finger to fight against us. Not one finger to fight against us. Oh, we didn't know that they had a power behind them, though. Or we'd have been let them go. We would have Pharaoh behind out. What they say? We would have impeached Pharaoh. Pharaoh would have been impeached. They would have really knew who was behind them people. For while peaceful silence inward wrecked all things, and night in her own swiftness was mid-course. Let's slow this one down, family. I got to slow this one down because I know I said something earlier. I said that the angel of death came through. Yahweh and the angel of death came through. And I could hear somebody, what are you talking about? The scripture don't say nothing about Yahweh coming through. The scripture do talk about the angel of death. But let's read this right here. And those who have an ear, let him hear. I'm going to start at 14 again. For while peaceful sound enwrapped all things, and night in her own swiftness was in mid-course, your all-powerful word leaped from heaven out of the royal throne, a stern warrior into the midst of doomed land. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! His own word came off the throne, came down into this doomed land, bearing a sharp sword, your unfriend's commandment, and standing and filled all things with death. And while it touched the heaven, it trod upon the earth. Think how wide that thing was. Wow, it touched the heaven. It trod it upon the earth. How long it was. Huh? When the scroll, when the heavens rolled back, and that word come off that throne, it's coming again, family. When that word come off that throne, with the Melchizedek, and we change in the twinkling of an eye, and we rise up with him. The death that's going to fall upon this. He said he's coming back with a rod of iron, a sword in his hand. I like that. Matter of fact, I got to read that one more time. I'm going to read it one more time for y'all. It just fills you. For while peaceful silence enwrapped all things, and night in her own swiftness was in mid-course, your all-powerful word leaped from heaven out of the royal throne, a stern warrior. What? There's no softness about Yahushua. He's a stern warrior. Into the midst of a doomed land, bearing a sharp sword, your unfriend's commandment, and standing it filled all the things with death. And while it touched the heaven, it trod upon the earth. Then forward apparitions and dreams terrible troubled them, and fears came upon them unlooked for. You understand what's happening? When Yahushua come back, you talking about them demons going to be running. See, they going to know. They are going to know what's really happening. It's going to be dumbfounded man who don't really know what's happening. Oh, is an alien coming? No, sir. No. You understand? That's why they got all these alien movies coming. They didn't already put in the psyche of man that when that sky cracked, it's an alien coming. Go get the guns. We might can defeat it, because in all the movies, we defeated the alien. Nope, not this one. Not this one. This is a stern warrior who's coming. Stern warrior. I love it. I love it, Lord. I love it. I love it. Woo. Hallelujah. Where am I at? 17. Then forward apparitions and dreams troubled them, and fears came upon them unlooked for. And this all happened in that Pesach night, fam. To the Egyptians. This is happening to the Egyptians. Apparitions, demons. Things is popping. Spirits are just coming at them. Each one thrown here, half dead, and another dead, made manifest wherefore he was dying. For the dreams protruding them did foreshoot this, that they might not perish without knowing why they were afflicted. Let's hear that. Let's understand that one right there, what he just said. You will not die. You will not die without Yahweh telling you why you are dying. You will not get salvation without Yahweh telling you why you are not getting salvation. While you are dying, you are being afflicted. You will not know why you are being punished. You will know why you're being punished. Excuse me. Before you pass away, you are going to know why you are being punished. You're going to know, because he's a just, mighty one. You just didn't take the gift that he gave. You chose the other side. But before you die, and while you're being punished, you're going to know why you're being punished. You're going to know why you're being punished. You're going to know why you are not getting salvation, because he's a just, mighty one. Let me read that again. For the dreams protruding them did foreshow this, that they might not perish without knowing why they were afflicted. But it befell the righteous also to make trial of death, and a multitude were stricken in the wilderness. Howbeit, the wrath endured not for long. Shema family, those who are righteous, Shema. For a blameless man hurry to be their champion, bringing weapons of his own ministry, even prayer and the preparation of incense. He withstood the indignation and set an end to the calamity, showing that he was your servant. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he overcame the anger, not by strength of body, nor by efficiency of weapons, but by word did he subdue the minister of punishment. Hallelujah. But by word, what word? The word of Yahweh. That's how we're going to subdue the minister of punishment. When you're going through and you and Yahweh chasing you, you better know some word. You better know some word. You better know some prayer. If he did it to the Egyptians back then, he's going to do it again when he come back. That's not bad. By bringing to remembrance oaths and covenants made with the Father. Hey, remember what you say, Abba? Remember your covenant, Abba? For when the dead were already fallen in heap, one upon another, standing between, he stopped the advancing wrath and cut off the way of the living. For upon his long high priestly robe was the whole world, and the glories of the fathers were upon the graving of the four rows of precious stones, and your majesty was upon the dendem of his head. He's talking about our brother Aharon. Stood up. Stood up. Priestly garment. In his priestly garment. He stood up. He interceded for the people. Hallelujah. I'm going to stop right there for that one, family. I'm going to go to Revelation 6:12. Shema, family. Shema. Yahweh did it then. He will do it again. And he's going to do it again. Not a long one tonight, family. Just an hour. Just an hour. Revelation 6, starting at verse 12, family. 12 to 17, matter of fact. And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. We just read about in Mitzrayim in Egypt, when there was darkness. It was so dark that they couldn't even see in front of their face. And we know that Mitzrayim, Egypt, points to this world. And Yah, and Yahushua, that stern warrior came through Mitzrayim. Stars of heaven fell up unto the earth, even as the fig tree casts her untimely figs when she is shaken of the mighty wind. What does it say in the Wisdom of Solomon? The stars wouldn't even give its light. Family. The stars and that night, that Pesach night, it wouldn't even give light for them. They couldn't even light a fire. That's how dark it was. I would say, you're going to live in darkness, you're going to be in darkness. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it was rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in dens and in the rocks of the mountains. There's no way you can hide from Abba. What did King David say? If I went down to Sheol, you are dead. No man, nobody, they are not going to be able to hide. But in man's mind, in his feeble mind, he's going to be able to hide from Abba. No, you're not. No, you're not. And the kings of the earth. Oh, I just read that. All right. And the kings of the earth. And the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every freeman hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountain and said to the mountain and rock, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. That stern warrior, that word of Yah. He did it there. He already showed us what's going to happen, fam. For that great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Will you be able to stand when Yahushua come back, fam? He said in another verse, shall the Son of Man find faith in the earth when he returns? Will you still be holding on? Think of this small thing that we're doing tonight. And it's not just a small thing, but I'm talking about in comparison to the grand scale of things. That great and awesome day, that Sabbath, Scripture just said, that great and awesome day, that ultimate Shabbat. We're waiting for that day. So we know on that day, when Yahushua come back, when the heavens part like a scroll, and the sun won't give us light, and stars won't even give us light, and the moon turns into blood, and all types of apparitions, all types of demons will be running the earth at that time. Spiritual and the physical will come together at that time. It will open up. It will. So, man, I mean, just lose your imagination when it comes to that. It's like when our forefather was able to talk straight to the Father, Adam, when there was no barrier there. When Yahushua come back and crack the sky, there will be no barrier. There will be no man going to know. Man is going to know that all this time that he was living in the matrix, he was not living in the real world. And the fear that fell upon them Egyptians, it's going to happen again. Don't you want to be on the side that wins? Don't you want to be on the side that's not afraid? Shabbat Shalom, family. Lord, I thank you for listening to me. Thank Abba Yah for opening up his door to Sabbath, for allowing us to sit at his table to feast. May we continue to eat the bread of Yahweh, the bread of heaven, that sweet Savior. And something else I wanted to read, but I should have read that. I should have read that in there. So we talking about the Passover. We talking about the Passover. In there, it talks about when Yahweh rained down the manna. And he said he made this manna sweet. And he made it so everybody who ate a piece of it, it will be to your liking. It in our little feeble minds, like we always thought, like, man, we would get tired of that every day. No. He made that manna to our liking. Everybody liked it. Every time you ate it, it tastes different to your taste buds. It was to your liking, that manna. Matter of fact, I've got to find that, but not tonight. Now, it's in there. Then realm 14 or 15 of the Wisdom of Solomon. Go read it. Treat yourself tonight and read it. Shalom, family.